It's Tuesday, the 14th of October, 2025. I'm Alec Hogg, and here's today's message for the BizNews Tribe. It's been quite a 24 hours that we've experienced at BizNews. It seems as though the work that we're doing right now is grabbing the attention of the South African public, not just our tribe. And here, as you are a member of the premium group, I can give you a little bit of the insight. The interview with Paul O'Sullivan, which we conducted over the weekend on Sunday, that has gone through 100,000 views on YouTube. Lovely thing about YouTube is that you can quantify the reach of interviews. It's sitting at 103,000 at the moment, which is, you know, pretty useful in any language. But the really big thing here is that the average view duration, 20 minutes and 34 seconds, which is quite extraordinary. In our business, engagement is what it's all about. And this shows that people are not only watching, a lot of people watching the interviews, but a lot of people, they're actually staying on it. And if you have a look around social media, there's been plenty of comment. Not all of it positive. In fact, a lot of it negative towards Paul O'Sullivan, because he is attacking the darling of South Africa right now, General Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi. And although Paul did say in his interview that a lot of what Mkhwanazi has said is true, he also said that he's sprinkling lies on top of it to protect some of his friends. Well, yesterday I conducted an interview with a chief executive of a small cap on the JSE called Mantengu. The man's name is Mike Miller. And that interview, as of this morning, has gone through 65,000 views. So also very well watched. Just to give you some context, because these numbers roll off the tongue, 65,000 people is the equivalent of a Ellis Park filled to capacity. So that's how many people have actually watched this interview. And it gives you an understanding that there is a lot of interest in the subject at the moment. There, the engagement on this interview was 16 and a half minutes. Again, lots of time that people are spending listening, watching. I'm seeing that the Paul O'Sullivan saga has now grabbed a lot of attention on social media just about everywhere. And it does appear as though there are many who have their own opinions on this. I spoke to Paul O'Sullivan this morning and said to him, "Are you keen to have a right of reply?" He said, "Not now, not until I have provided my evidence at the Madlanga Commission." He says it's only fair to stay out of the media until then, so that the commissioners on the Madlanga Commission, which is investigating the allegations that were made by General Mkhwanazi in July, can actually see it first. So that's what's going to happen on that side. However, Zunaid Moti, who was attacked by Mike Miller yesterday, is demanding, not really demanding, he's requested a right of reply at BizNews. We're a platform. We give everybody the chance to speak. So obviously we have agreed to this. He's traveling at the moment. He has business interests, mines actually, to the north of us. And so he will be back home and ready to talk on Wednesday next week. So we will be in conversation. He will give a full right of he has a full right of reply to Mike Miller. He will be addressing all of the issues that Miller raised. And he already, if you did watch or listen to the interview yesterday, you'll know that Moti sent a letter to Miller ahead of the interview to say to him that I'm watch out what you say, because I will threaten. I'm threatening legal action against you, and clearly there was no notice taken of that by Mr. Miller, who was pretty loquacious in his conversation and his focus on what he believes the truth to be. And so you can imagine that there's going to be lots of court actions going on that side. Not that Mantengu and Mike Miller seem to be terribly worried about that. They've, as he said in the interview, restructured the business in such a way that he can handle all of this because he sees this as an existential risk to his company. And he believes that Zunaid Motti runs a criminal enterprise. That's what he said. And Motti, clearly from his perspective, is livid. And he will be giving us his side of the story. And I guess the only thing for me to say is grab the popcorn. On to other issues today. And you can see that things are going pretty hectically at the moment around General Mkhwanazi and the ad hoc committee to parliament and the Madlanga Commission. But lest we forget, there's a lot of stuff happening on the international front. On Friday, Donald Trump threatened to add 100% duty to Chinese products. That had an immediate response from the Chinese to say that they will be blocking the sales of certain rare earth minerals and magnets in particular. And all of these products are critical to supply chains and to the production of equipment. And this morning, Donald Trump said, well, if that's the case, then he's going to use other vehicles and other means. So essentially what's going on here is you've got the heart of democracy, being the United States, taking on the heart of autocracy, being China. China's playing one road. America's playing a different road. Depending on who you believe, you will perhaps place your sympathies with one or the other. My intense hope is that South Africa plays for South Africa and doesn't get involved on one or other of these ideological sides, but uses the opportunity, the unique opportunity that has been presented to us to extract the best benefit from those who can give it to us. And let me just take you to an interview I did this morning with Anthony Ginsberg. Anthony is a South African. He left the country in 1990. He calls himself a Boer Jood van die Karoo, which means he's Jewish, and he grew up in the Karoo in South Africa. And he says that he's been very involved. I've had WhatsApp calls and messages from him through the last few months. He's been very close to what's going on in the negotiations between South Africa and the United States. He knows the parties, both parties, fairly well, particularly on the United States side, where he's a close associate of the former trade minister, who's in the same firm as the current trade minister. So the way he'd explained it to me today made the most sense that I've heard. And I'd urge you to go and watch that video or read through or listen to the audio. He said that Donald Trump has picked the best from the world of business, good negotiators, deal makers like himself. And he says, as a deal maker, Trump kind of knows, he knows who the good deal makers are. He's stuffed them into the senior positions in his cabinet and on the trade side, on the economic side. And he set them loose to go and make deals around the world with countries where Trump believes that America's been getting a bad rap, getting a bad deal. So we in South Africa appear to be taking on these best deal makers in the world because these are heavyweights of Wall Street. These are guys who buy and sell businesses that are would be huge in South Africa. They do that before lunchtime. These are people who deal at a different level completely. And here we are in South Africa and we're trying to use ideological reasons. And meantime, we've had no economic growth. We've got massive unemployment. We're kind of on the wrong path and we are taking a knife to a gunfight in these trade negotiations. It seems to me anyway. And where I think the opportunity exists, and if you listen to what Anthony says, you might feel the same way, is that for once, South Africa's in a position where we're the prettiest girl in the room. We've got rare earths. We've got lots of minerals. We've got a a country that has always been a mining destination, but because of bad policy, we've had no exploration. Can you believe this? Zero exploration in South Africa for 20 years because the ANC says if you want to explore, you've got to give 30% of anything that you find to some party that we require that you do so. In other words, BEE. And international companies, exploration is so high risk anyway. Why would they give away 30% of the spoils if they were even to find spoils? So clearly they've walked away from it. They're not interested in it. But we are a treasure chest. Peter Major keeps telling you through the Mining Web weekly show that we have as much gold under the ground as we have produced above the ground. And South Africa's Witwatersrand Basin has produced more than one third of all gold mined everywhere in the world. So imagine that. We got another one third that's sitting there that is mineable, and many of those old reefs were abandoned decades ago by the old timers who, for them, 5 grams, 6 grams, 10 grams a ton were not payable, whereas today, 3 or 4 grams a ton is payable. So just open your mind to that possibility. Also, we have rare earths as well, which the Chinese have got a monopoly on at the moment. Also, we have a port called Simonstown, which is the beautifully positioned to control the Atlantic, which of course is the route to Europe and America. Add all of this together and South Africa's got a few very good cards at the table, and there are deal makers on the other side who recognize the cards we've got. If we play them humbly, calmly, and from a commercial perspective, the impact could be enormous. That's my plea. Pretoria, please bring in a deal maker of our own. We got many of them. Bobby Godsell would be able to help you. Trevor Manuel would be a good person. Maybe just recruit Neil Froneman. He's just resigned out of Sibanye. He's the kind of person who loves South Africa and be able to make a good deal. He's made lots of good deals in his life. And he has dealt with these Wall Street types who are on Team Trump. Let's send in a man with a gun to a gunfight rather than somebody with a knife. And actually the knife isn't even a Bowie knife, it's a pen knife. Until the next time, which will be tomorrow. Cheerio.